remember, there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know, I will get back to you. That was one of the hardest things for me in the beginning stages of my business, is being able to say to a client, I actually don't know the answer to that, but I'm going to look it up and get back to you.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. My guest today is a friend that I have come to respect very dearly for her attitude in life and the incredible business that she has built. Cassie Bjork started her career as a registered dietitian, and she worked diligently to get herself out of a one-on-one model and find a way to be able to scale her message with the world. Cassie is joining us at our event Impact Lives this year, and I asked her to come because I wanted her insight not just on the tactics and strategies that she has used to build her business, which we talked about today, but as importantly, on the mindset that she's been able to bring to the table at each of her stages of growth. Cassie is the real deal. She works as hard on where she's at in her mindset as she does in her business, and she knows exactly how to do work in all the right places. Today's interview was one of my favorites. She's filled with brilliant insight, and it is truly my honor to introduce you to my friend, Cassie Bjork. Cassie Bjork, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
Well, we have a lot to unpack, and I was sharing with you just before we jumped on to this interview that I surveyed my audience in the last few weeks, and I said, what do you want more of? Business, health, mindset? What is it that you're craving? And I was waiting for everyone to come back with all these health topics they wanted. And what everyone was really asking for was more things related to business. And it's so perfect that you are here because you are a registered dietitian by background and by training. And you have this immense passion and respect for the role that health has to play in all of our lives, but in particular with respect to entrepreneurs. But you've also built this massive coaching business. And I have so much respect for the way that you have scaled it, and you've taken yourself out of the need to do everything within your business. So can you just, can you give us some background? Like, just give us the Coles Notes story and history of how we got from Cassie, the registered dietitian, to Cassie having massive impact across her platforms with a whole coaching team working under her.
Oh, well, thank you. I know it feels so good to be in this place. And I want everyone listening to know that it wasn't always like that. About 12 years ago, I was a dietitian. You know, I was in a clinical job working full time, and I was seeing one-on-one clients on the side trying to build a business, but I couldn't even imagine taking a single day off. And it was hard to step away even for a few hours. I just remember I was just so burned out and my energy was so low, and I was trying to serve. I had this heart for service and, you know, being a coach and helping other women lose weight and keep it off and helping them with their nutrition. But I was just really not taking care of myself in the process because I was working so many hours and I was just stuck and I didn't know what to do. And I just remember not having any plan or idea on how to move from that to building what I really wanted to build, which is what I have today. I have a team of dietitians, and I have a full team that does everything for me, an operations manager and a sales team and, you know, the vitamin company and the coaching business. And we've scaled in a way that has been really beautiful and allowed, you know, freedom for me in my life to get to move to California and the house of my dreams and get to travel whenever I want and have a flexible schedule. But it wasn't always like that. So I do want to kind of back up and share, you know, from kind of back at the beginning, like the things that I really had to do to get to this place, because I think a lot of the practitioners and coaches that I work with, they're in that place of burnout. And that's when they come to me because they know they just can't keep living like that. And for me, it was really, actually, sometimes it takes hitting rock bottom. I got meningitis, and I remember I ended up in the hospital, and it was just the craziest situation for me because I'd always been so healthy and I was the picture of health in my business. And I felt so embarrassed that I ended up at this point where I was getting sick. And really, it was because I just didn't slow down and I had so much on my plate and I was creating this stress in my body, and my body just couldn't handle it anymore. And it's actually a pattern that I've seen in a lot of the entrepreneurs that I work with. And that's why I think this is such an important topic to address, is being able to build and scale a company in a way that doesn't kill you in the process, especially when we're in the health industry, right?
So how did you do that? And I shared this with you at Mindshare, and it's always easy to just project what you think is happening with other people. But I said to you, like, one of the things I love about your energy is I feel like you're just willing to try things and kind of figure it out. And I'm sure you have those moments, but I hear a lot of people talking about what they want to do and then they never do it. And I would just watch you take action and you take action. Is that inherent to you? Is that easy for you? Or did you have to learn to do that?
No, I'm so glad you bring that up, because I am such a perfectionist by nature. I think I'm a recovering perfectionist. And really, I'm glad you brought that up too, because it's one of the biggest things that's allowed me to grow to the place we are now, is you can't get stuck in the perfectionism. If you do, like, nothing's going to happen. I mean, I remember a point where I had probably 35 or 40 blog posts on my computer in a folder, unpublished. They weren't helping anyone. They were like 90% done. But because they weren't perfect, I just left them there and I'd start something new. And I remember when I hired my operations manager, he's like, you have all these projects that are almost done, but they're not serving anyone. They're not making money. They're not helping people. And that was a moment where I was like, man, I worked so hard on so many things, but I'm letting myself just get in the way. And this is a big mindset block too, for a lot of us who are in this space to serve. We get stuck in thinking that we have to be perfect, or we get imposter syndrome, or we think, who am I to do this? And, you know, this isn't good enough. But we have to just put stuff out there. And you have to remember that what you have to offer, you know, it's going to help people, even if it's not perfect. And that was one thing for me that really made a shift, was just trying things. I mean, I remember I shared with you the last time we were together in person that I really wanted to throw events. And I just decided one day, I was like, you know what, I want to throw an event before the end of the year. It was October, and I decided to do an event in December. And this is so unlike me, but I decided to just talk about it in Instagram stories, shoot out a couple emails, see if anybody would be interested. And people were interested. And then I just did it old school, where I hopped on the phone. I didn't even have my sales team involved at all. I just decided to hop on the phone with people that were interested, tell them about the event, sell it on the phone. And before I knew it, I had a huge group of female entrepreneurs coming out to San Diego for this event in December that I didn't even have an agenda for. But it was so fun for me. And the event ended up being just awesome. It was like really cool energy, because I didn't spend, you know, 5 years planning it. I just took action and did it, and I learned from it. And then I got to make it better, and I did it again. And I think it just takes, you know, taking that step of just action and moving forward. We can't just get stuck in perseverating, get stuck in our heads. And I do see that being one of the biggest blocks for female entrepreneurs, is just getting stuck and not taking action.
I totally agree with you. And I remember last year when we had Impact Lives and we ran that for the first time, I shared with everybody from stage that it almost didn't happen. I almost canceled it 4 times. Because even once we started to sell tickets, I was like, oh, they're not going to like our content. Or what if we share with them the same thing as everybody else? And then finally, I was just like, screw it. I have stuff to say. And the people who are going to be here and who are going to share the stage with me have important things to say. And worst case scenario, we just won't do it again.
Yeah, that's worst case scenario. Worst case scenario is that you learn from it. And the people that you're serving, they're still going to get a lot out of it. I always tell health coaches that you don't have to know everything. You just have to know more than the person that you're coaching. Because sometimes people have this, they think they have to like build out their business perfectly and have all these sales pages and all these systems before they even get a client. And I'm like, no, the best way is to just dive in and start teaching people. And whenever you do something the first time, you know, you want to make sure you're really close to it and you over deliver. And anytime I do a program for the first time, I'm going to make sure every person who goes through it is really, really happy and successful and sees results. So as long as you're committed to that, and that's coming from a heart-centered place, you're going to serve them in amazing ways. And they're going to be so happy. But we do have to just take that action.
I talk to practitioners about this all the time, and this isn't reserved just for practitioners, because it doesn't matter if you are someone who's like helping people with their finances, or you're in real estate or whatever it is. But I had a series of practitioners last year like, oh, I can't come to Impact. I'm going to this other event. It was an education event. And I was like, cool. Like, what is it about that event that's driving you there? They're like, I know, I just feel like I need one more course and then I'll be ready to build my business. And some of these people were 4 or 5 years into their practice and were already doctors. And so I think it's what you say is so true. And the difference between the people who are just getting out there and making things happen and helping people and then scaling their businesses and their impact is there. They really recognize that they don't have to have the acumen of someone who's been in practice for 25 years in order to help people out of the gates. You literally need to be three steps ahead.
Exactly. Yeah, that's all you need. Also, I was talking to one of my business coaching clients yesterday, and she's a dietitian, and she's getting into women's hormonal health. And she said, I just feel like I can't quite teach on it yet because I don't know all the intricate details of every single hormone. And all you need to know is the basics and then give them action steps. When you're teaching someone and coaching them, like, you want to give them a little background of how things work, just because our brains will, they're going to want to take action more if we understand like a little bit, but you don't have to get nitty gritty. And also remember, there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know, I will get back to you. That was one of the hardest things for me in the beginning stages of my business, is being able to say to a client, I actually don't know the answer to that, but I'm going to look it up and get back to you. And there's nothing wrong with that. We don't have to know everything. And if we let that stop us, we're not going to be able to move forward. We're not going to be able to serve as many people. We're not going to be able to make the income, the living that we want. And we're really not going to be able to live out our calling. So we have to not get in our own ways.
And what I heard you say there came from a place of confidence. And I think no matter what you are doing and putting out into the world, if you do it confidently, even say, I don't know, it elevates people's trust in you. How do you tap into your own confidence so you can try something new? Do you have mindset tools that you leverage to be able to do that?
Well, that's a good question. And I think, yeah, confidence is everything. You're so right. I was on this webinar yesterday where I was teaching sales, and I was telling them that really, no matter what, like, people can feel your energy. They pay attention to what you say, but it's really how you say it that matters most. So if you are not confident, if you're selling your program and you get to that part where you talk about the price and you reveal how it all works, if you kind of, you know, your palms start to sweat and you get a little awkward and uncomfortable, they're totally going to feel that. And if you're not confident in what you have to offer, well, they're not going to be either. So no matter what it is, you just have to own it and be excited about it. I mean, that's true for really anything in life, whether you're an entrepreneur or not. And for me, I think one of the ways that I maintain that confidence, it's such a simple exercise, but every single morning I pick three affirmations and I say them a few times, and then I come back to them throughout the day. And they're different every day, but a lot of the times it's, I'm a really good leader and I'm going to have an amazing impact on everyone that I come in contact with today. And I was born to do this. You know, just saying things like that to yourself will really set your mindset. I mean, your body, your mind will believe it eventually. It's always good to tell ourselves what we want to be and create those visions and meditate on them and pray on them, because eventually then, I mean, that's how you manifest the reality of your dreams, is by telling yourself these things, and your mind and your body start to believe them. And if we're not, you know, doing that, I mean, a lot of my business coaching clients, it's so interesting. When I got into business coaching, I'm all about structures and systems. And we can get into that too, Megan. I know we have a lot to cover with that, like scaling and creating automations and systems and processes. That's how I'm not involved in my business anymore, because I've set it up in a way where I'm able to scale in that sense. But you can do all of that, but if you don't have like the confidence that you're able to do it, I mean, it's just, you need that underlying everything. You really do, in order to be successful at anything in life.
And it's all self-perpetuating. So once you have those systems and you see success from those systems, it's easier to access those mindset pieces. So take us through that from a systems perspective. You were seeing people one-on-one, and I know it is the dream of half the people listening to this right now. They're like, how do I get out of the chair? How do I not be the man or the woman who is delivering all of the content? How do I start to leverage myself? What were your first steps and what does it look like now?
Yeah, I just remember being in that grind and having no idea how to get out, but I knew I wanted to help more people. I wanted to free up my time. I didn't want to kill myself in the process. And the first step is really to delegate. It's to not be so prideful that you think that you have to do it all on your own. And it's really to be able to bring people in to delegate. And it doesn't have to be hiring other practitioners right away. That's actually, I think the first thing I did was hired an assistant, because I was still doing all of the admin and answering all the emails. And I hired someone to at least take that off of my plate. And by the way, if you're looking at hiring an assistant, the first thing you can do right now to prepare for that is just to start documenting everything that you do on a regular basis. So for me, I was getting the same emails all the time. You know, how can you help me lose weight? What does your program look like? How much does it cost? And then what I would do is every single email that I would reply to, I would just put it in a separate document and start to create templates. And then when I hired my assistant, she was able to just look at all the responses that I'd already created and use those. And then anything new that came in, we developed a template for that. So that's a good way to start. So you can start systemizing when you bring in an administrative assistant. But then the next thing, really shortly after hiring an admin assistant for me, was hiring other dietitians, because I couldn't continue being the only one seeing the clients. And keeping in mind, for me, my mission is to help more women. And I knew that, you know, by seeing one-on-one and just burning myself out in the process, that's not helping. I'm really not being the best of service to anyone that I'm in contact with, including myself. And if I want to help more people, if I want to scale this business and bring, you know, freedom to the lives of more women, I've got to have help. And I think it was a pride thing for me for a while. Like, you know, honestly, part of it was like, how am I going to train somebody else in my ways? I've got this all figured out. I'm really good at it, but how am I going to teach another dietitian to do what I do? And I really had to break that mindset that I was the only one that could do it, and realize that there's other people that are really amazing and they can probably do it just as good as me, maybe even better if they have more energy and they're not seeing their 15th client of the day. So what I had to do next was, again, you know, kind of documenting everything that you do. And for me, I developed a process. So when I would see a client, I realized there were a lot of things that I had in common. Like at the initiation session, which we now call a game plan session, there were certain things that I did. There were certain topics that I covered. There were ways that I said things. There were questions that I asked about their vision and their dream and their roadblocks. And I started to just document all of that. I even started to record some of my calls so that for training purposes, for the dietitians that I would hire, they could listen to my calls and tune in and see, you know, how that worked. And then I started just systemizing everything by documenting it all.
It's so key. I used to resist documenting and my agenda, and people are like, you should time block everything. And I was like, oh, I'm a creative. And then I realized that was just a limiting belief, because I have so much more freedom in my business and in my life when I have systems around things.
Well, and it takes longer at the beginning. And it's a really hard thing to do, especially if you're in a place where you're already booked solid and you can hardly stay on top of the day-to-day activities. And that's typically the place people are at when they realize they need to hire. It's not usually like when we have tons of free time and things are going great that we think about documenting stuff. So it can definitely add a lot of time onto your plate. But once you get that done, you don't have to do it again. So, and it actually just reminds me of another thing that I'd want to bring up for, you know, scaling your business and building it out to be able to help more people. One thing that I realized was I was saying the same things to like every single client I was coaching. Like the first session, I was always talking about the basics of what to eat and gut health and inflammation and how it all works. So I realized, well, why don't I systemize that? Instead of like, I kept wishing that you could just hit a play button and I would just say the same thing that I said to the last 10 clients, because it was all, you know, it's all the same basic understanding before the personalization. So I realized I could do that. I could just shoot a video of me saying that stuff and then everybody could watch it before coming to their session. So they're already on the same page and then we can go deeper. So just things like that, where, you know, pay attention to like the things that are coming up as themes in your coaching and how you might be able to systemize it to make it easier for you. And now even, you know, I don't see clients in the weight loss dietitian practice anymore, but they all see these videos when they first enter before they see one of my dietitian coaches. So it's a great way to systemize, is just start like thinking that way and just tracking everything. Even like screen recordings are one of my favorite things to do, because, you know, documentation, making a long list and typing out all the steps can get rather cumbersome, but also it can be more effective for someone to watch a video if you're logging into something or showing them, you know, how to set up, I don't know, your scheduling system or payments or whatever it is. Especially for my admin assistant, it was really helpful for me to just do the thing and just screen record the whole thing and then send her the video so she could actually watch me do it versus trying to, you know, read a list and emulate it that way.
And that screenshot video you do, it doesn't, I'm just throwing this out there for everyone, it doesn't have to be pretty.
No.
It doesn't have to be edited. You don't even like, you just send it.
It's better to have it done imperfectly than not done at all. And if we want to make a difference in this world, we have to get stuff done. We can't let our perfectionism block us. I think it's the number one thing I see in female entrepreneurs, health coaches, dietitians, nutritionists, is we just get stuck in our own way and we think we have to be perfect and we don't. And nobody's going to know, right? Like I even told myself that, like, when I would have clients see my dietitians, I was like, man, they're kind of missing out because they don't get to see me. And then I realized that was so, that's really thinking quite a lot of myself, because my dietitians are really awesome. They're teaching my ways, and these people don't even know what it would be like to meet with me anyway. And they were all super happy meeting with my dietitian coaches. So I almost let myself and my limiting beliefs hold back the growth of my business and the ability to influence and impact more people. We've got to really pay attention to the thoughts that we're having.
It's so true. I actually wrote down as you were talking around this idea of limiting belief, because I think a lot of practitioners go through this, in that they really believe that they have to be the only one to deliver it. And conversely, they have patients who are asking, and I think a lot of them get caught in this, where patients really only want to see them. Did you get caught in that for a little while, in terms of people, when you were still seeing clients yourself, people wanting to see, knowing it was an option to see you, and then not wanting to see your associates?
I did. And especially, I was the face of the business. My business was called Dietitian Cassie. And I mean, especially when I first hired other dietitians, I was like, people don't even know that I have anybody else on staff. They're all going to want to see me. How's that going to work? But again, this comes back to the confidence we talked about. So, and I was doing the sales calls at the time, the strategy session. So what would happen is, on the strategy session, I would just get super confident. I wouldn't even hesitate. I'd say, you know what? Awesome. You are going to be perfect working with my dietitian coach named Taylor. Taylor works with all of our pregnant women on their hormone balancing and making sure they're healthy to have their baby. You're going to love her. So I'll put you on her schedule. And you know what happened? No one questioned me. And I almost felt a little bit offended. I was like, I thought they'd all want to work with me. But when you have that confidence, and I actually even said, I actually brought it up to someone just because I was curious. I was like, does that sound good? Are you okay with working with one of my dietitians? And she's like, well, yeah, if that's what you think I need, I trust you and your ways. I mean, you probably trained them in, so I'm okay with it.
That is exactly what my patients said to me when I started to say I was moving on to sabbatical and not taking new patients. And they're like, if you think this is the person I should be seeing, then I'm all in for that. Like almost verbatim what you said. We have so many stories we tell ourselves. Yes. And yes. They, like, you just stop. If you're at a place in your business where you're like, I need to bring someone else in. For me, what mm-hmm. I really had to do finally to just make this happen was I had to draw a fine line in the sand. I was a little bit wishy-washy at first and being like, okay, I'll see that person. Or, oh yeah, I'll try to fit them in. And finally, mm-hmm. I was like, no, I'm not taking on new clients, period. There are no exceptions to that. And right now I'm on sabbatical. I have fully stepped out. And my team is thriving in that. They're better off without me there.
Yeah, totally. And setting those boundaries will make you better at everything that you do. I was talking to one of my coaching clients about this yesterday, because she was saying, you know what? I just realized that I am no good with calls after 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not my best self. And I said, so Leslie, why are you doing calls after 2 o'clock? And she's like, good question. And I said, you can set that boundary. You know, I have a boundary. I don't do any calls before 11 a.m. Not because I sleep in, I'm lazy, but actually because my most productive time for working on my own projects is in the morning. My brain is at its highest power. I'm pumped up. I'm fired. I'm super creative. And I love using those first several hours of the day to work on my own projects. And then I do other people's stuff later, and I'm still pretty good at it, but I want to make sure I reserve that time for myself, and I have to hold that boundary. And I used to let it slip so many times. I'd be like, oh, just, you know, one client, one podcast, but then I wouldn't have any time to work on my own, on my business. And I think that's really important too, is so many times we get stuck working in our business, seeing the clients and doing our daily tasks, that we don't work on the business. And that's just as important if you want to keep the needle moving forward, but also just make sure you're maintaining that big vision for really what you're up to in this world.
Well, and having work-life balance and being able to scale your business really requires that you're putting as much effort into the things that drive mm-hmm. balance as drive work. And if you're constantly making exceptions and always seeing people and never drawing that line in the sand, mm-hmm. you're not moving towards that ideal life. And we both were saying, as we were getting mm-hmm. onto this podcast, we're like, we're both living our ideal lives. Like, how fortunate. Yeah. But that takes a lot of work.
Yeah. And it's from being intentional. It doesn't just happen. Usually when I'm working with someone on their business, they've gotten to the point where they're just so exhausted and so burned out and they just don't know what steps to take next. And I think it's really important to be setting yourself up in a way where you don't have to hustle so hard. Life doesn't have to be that way. I used to think it did. I was like, I'm a really hard worker and I'm just going to work harder. But the problem is you can work really, really hard, but if you're not working on the right things, it's not going to help you. It's not going to serve you. So that's where I think it becomes important to be super intentional. Like, how do you want to set up your business? And there's different ways to grow. You know, most of the coaches that I work with have a one-on-one practice and they're looking to scale. Well, you can hire a team. We talked about that. You can bring in practitioners and you can train them in your ways and you can have them see the clients. That's what I did. And that's how I got myself out of that business. But another thing that you can do is you can create a group coaching program. And we also did that. So I also decided I wanted to help more people in that way instead of just continuing to hire dietitians over and over. I wanted a smaller staff, but I still wanted to help more people. So we basically turned our one-on-one practice into a group coaching program with my dietitians leading it. And that was where it was really important to look at, okay, what are the things we're saying over and over again? What is every single person we work with? What do they all need? So we could like systematize that and create videos and modules, but then we still have the personalization because there's still group coaching calls where they can come and ask their questions. So there's different ways to scale and you can kind of combine them, but it does basically what I'm getting at is you just want to be intentional and it's okay to mess up. Like we talked about, you know, with perfectionism, it's totally fine to change your mind. And I've done that a million times in my business and there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you get really clear on what you want to do when you just start doing it and realize that it's what you don't want to do. And then you shift.
Well, and some models work for some people's businesses and personality and the information that they're sharing, and those models don't necessarily work for others. I like groups from a health perspective. They say that you are the product of the five people with whom you spend the most time. Imagine you could spend time with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs and go-getters looking to up-level their business, body, and mindset. The Entrepology Collective does not belong to us. It belongs to you. Come hang out with us on Facebook and let us collectively inspire, support, and cheerlead you towards your vision for contribution, your commitment towards better health, and your journey of mindset mastery. We are in this together. We are entrepreneurs by birth, by choice, and by mission. We are the Entrepology Collective. Search for us on Facebook and come join your tribe. Can you share a little bit more about what the ecosystem of offerings are that you have with your business right now?
Yeah. So what we've got is I've got my weight loss coaching company and our program is called Rule Breakers. And it's been through a lot of different evolutions. Yeah, it's Rule Breakers. We're breaking all the dieting rules. We tell people to eat more and exercise less and, you know, get to focus on all of the pieces of the puzzle with more of like a functional medicine based approach, sleep and supplements and stress and all of that. So basically, that's what I started doing one-on-one as a dietitian. And now we've scaled that into a group coaching program. It's a year long. We actually only have that one offer right now. And we used to have, you know, and I work with coaches all the time who are like, well, I have a 3-month program, a 6-month program, a 12-month program. They can do one-off sessions for 30 minutes, or they can pay more for 45-minute sessions. And I just encourage scratching all of that and getting super clear on what's going to help serve your client the best. And also, when you think about it, like when someone's working with us for a year, we don't have to have that conversation every single meeting of like, okay, should we, you know, how do I sell them into another session? Or like a 3-month program is probably not going to get anybody to see the results that they're looking for. So the way that I looked at it was I was actually doing them a disservice to let them choose. Kind of like we talked about earlier, when they're coming to you, you're the expert. So you need to tell them what they need. So we don't offer anything less than 12 months because a year at minimum is what it takes to see the results they're looking for. And if they don't want to work with us for a year, then they're just not our ideal client because we want to work with people who are really committed to long-term changes. So getting super clear and super confident in that is really, really fun. And then it's doing a service to your clients and they feel really safe because you know exactly what they need. So we used to have a lot of different offers, but now we basically just have our, you know, 12-month coaching program. And then we do a 10-day reset, which is kind of like a healthier detox program where we use real food and we help people kind of get like clean their slate and get like a jump start. And then oftentimes they join our program at the end of that because they see great results in only 10 days. They feel better and they want more help. So then we offer them the opportunity to join our 12-month program. And then I do have my vitamin company. It's called Real Food Vitamins. And it's kind of a mix of formulating different supplements. We private label some supplements and it's separate, but it ties in really nicely to the weight loss coaching company because it's obviously a very different business model because it's product-based versus service-based, but we're able to offer high-quality supplements. We don't require it. We don't include supplements in any of our programs. I've thought about it before, but I just like having the option of giving them the opportunity to buy supplements. And then the great thing is, even when they're done coaching with us, a lot of them become lifetime customers for our supplement company. And we have like a subscribe and save model where they can save money if they just subscribe to the supplements they want and get them delivered every month automatically. So that's been like a really beautiful automated stream of revenue for me. And then I do business coaching, and I really started doing business coaching because honestly, I had so much to say and was bored. And I was just like, I got myself out of the other companies and I had all these other dietitians asking me how I did it. How did I build, you know, two multi-six-figure businesses in the health space by myself and like get myself out of that to the point where, you know, my programs basically run themselves now. So I get really passionate about it. And I love working with other coaches and helping them do what I did. Because like I mentioned earlier, I think my mission is to bring freedom to women, and not just when it comes to health and weight, but also people like us who are just struggling and hitting burnout, and they're not reaching the amount of people they could reach, and they're not living their best life because they just don't know how to get out of that, you know, that grind of like one-on-one clients all day long to really build something that's scalable.
And I think what I keep hearing from all the things that you're talking about is you keep hitting these, not you, but I do them too. We hit these ceilings of complexity within our business. And every time you talked about a solution, I heard you talk about the mindset shift required to find that solution.
Yeah, there's always a mindset shift. I think one thing I was going to mention earlier too was, this is what I was going to say earlier. We've been talking about so much. It's so fun. I always think with my business coaching clients, it's going to be all about strategy. I always look at their business. I'm like, oh, this is going to be so great. I see so much low hanging fruit. We're going to do this and do this. And we do strategies and automations and processes. But I never realized what would come up the most, the questions they would have. It was all mindset stuff. It's, you know, money mindset. It's imposter syndrome. It's comparing. It's I don't feel good enough today. Like those are the things that come up for all of us, especially as female entrepreneurs. I think we have that comparison syndrome. And on Instagram, everybody makes it look like it's just rainbows and unicorns and butterflies. But entrepreneurship is hard and it's really a roller coaster. And that's why I love that you provide this support and this community, because so many times we feel like we're all alone. And we have to be able to break through these mindset blocks in order to up level, in order to really live out our calling and help more people. And, you know, just be excited about it in the process. I think a lot of times, you know, we just take ourselves too seriously. And I love just bringing a little bit of like fun to the table when we're talking about business, because yes, it's hard and it's draining, but also like we got to have a little bit of fun. I mean, that's why we left our 9-to-5 jobs, right?
Totally. And it really is fun when you kind of surrender to it. I always think of entrepreneurship as one of the most intense spiritual experiences you can have, because it's going to challenge you in ways you never imagined. But to do that in isolation and not part of a community, I couldn't imagine. Just like any spiritual experience happening in isolation, it doesn't have the same transformation. I'd love to hear your perspective, Cassie, because I could hear it in your voice when you're talking out, you know, this heart-centric practitioner, and you're just like, how do I help more people? And I have things I want to say, and I know and have this vision of how I can impact people's lives. How does that integrate with your philosophy around money and finances? And how do you reconcile those two pieces? Because irrespective of the model that people want to look at, I feel as though it is one's philosophy and approach to money that is one of the things that hold them back in terms of the impact that they're having, or they sabotage it. Have you done a lot of work in that respect?
100%. Yeah. I mean, I'm always really open about, I used to charge like $50 an hour to see me one-on-one when I was first starting. And, you know, now we charge, our program is $10,000 for the group coaching program. And, you know, we could even charge more for that. We've never had anyone say it wasn't worth it. But to get to that point of charging that kind of money, it took overcoming a lot of my own scarcity mindset. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest. We bought everything with coupons. We shopped at the Goodwill. I didn't have money growing up. And it was definitely something that felt like when I started making it, I wanted to hold on to it. And I had a scarcity mindset around it. But I think the biggest shift for me was, number one, realizing that money is energy. And in order to really, we need to have that abundant mindset and just realize that like money is going to, it's going to come and it's going to go. And when we make it and then we give it away and we're generous, like it's just energy. But also money is such a beautiful opportunity. Like when I'm on a sales call or telling someone the investment of our program, it's really an investment and you're offering them the opportunity to up level. Like I think about driving around my beater car that I bought at a salvage car shop with hail damage, and I hardly paid anything for it. And I was the worst driver ever. And then now I have my dream car, and it's interesting that I'm suddenly a really good driver. It's like we value what we invest in. So I think, you know, we really need to have that confidence and really own and not have shame or guilt or fear around asking for money. We have to ask for what we want with confidence and realize that we are giving our clients the opportunity to invest in themselves. If they're not invested, they're not going to be committed. And if they don't invest, then they're not going to really get the transformation that they want. I know sometimes, you know, people will get off a sales call and be like, oh man, like, you know, they didn't do my program, but I feel like, you know, I kind of felt like I didn't really want to sell it to them too hard because they were stuck and thought it was too expensive. And really, when you think about it, it's doing them a disservice because they're not going to see the change that they want to see if they aren't, you know, if you know your program is the right fit for them and that it can help them get from A to B, you've really got to show them. It's your responsibility to show them where they are and where they want to be and what that gap is and how your program or your system or your process can fill that gap and get them where they want to be. And then if they don't sign up, I mean, and they're not going to see the results that they want, it's really doing them a disservice. So I feel like it's our responsibility to A, show that clarity. Like, I feel like that's one of the main points of sales is clarity. It's not selling your stuff. It's showing them this awareness of where they are, where they want to be, and create that clarity and reveal what that gap is, and then offer them transformation and an opportunity to up-level their life. You know, like if you're lost and I gave you a map, but I don't tell you where you are, it really doesn't help you. So you've got to show them where they are, and you don't have to show them how to get where they want to be. I think one thing too that I really see with, I used to do this on my sales calls. I'd be so excited because I knew I could help them, and I was kind of like trying to prove that I could help them. So I was giving them all this information. And then at the end of the call, they were like, man, this was the best call ever. Thank you so much. I don't need to buy your thing because I just got everything I needed. But that was really doing a disservice because we know that information doesn't change people. We live in this world where we're saturated with information, yet we are not all billionaires with six-pack abs. And that's because it's not about information. We need accountability and support and guidance. So what you really need to do is show how your program can help them, but don't actually teach them anything and don't prove yourself. You know, you're basically just giving them the opportunity to up level and make that decision without pushing or forcing or turning into like a weird salesperson. Really, your goal is just to get them to the point of making a decision, bring them that awareness. And then, you know, if you're the one who guides them to that, you'll be the natural choice for them to hire. And if they're not really intending on solving the problem, then, you know, don't make them the offer in the first place. But I think the whole point is just being really, really confident in it and also leading from your heart. You know, I think sometimes when people are talking about money and sales and, you know, we start to get in our head and, you know, you're trying to remember like what they told you. And if you have a script, you might be trying to follow it. But you really need to stay in your heart because people can feel that. Just like, you know, money is energy. I think on a sales call, it's just this energetic exchange. And people want to work with someone they feel really, really good about. And they also want to work with someone that they feel gets them and understands them. So I try to let people do 90% of the talking. And I'm just there to lead and guide and, you know, let them really share what they're going through and feel super heard.
Yeah, it's amazing how saying nothing can be one of the most compelling sales tactics.
Yeah. And also, you know, you really need to be having these human to human conversations. True connection is so powerful. I mean, that's kind of why when I was sharing about just like throwing this event, you know, a couple months after I had the idea, it was a big thing for me because I really spent the past decade, maybe almost 12 years, in my business building out systems and processes and automations to scale. And this was really me going back to the basics saying, you know what, I'm actually just going to hop on the phone with these people who message me on Instagram and see where they're at, see what they need, see if it would be a good fit, and then sell them my thing. And it was really cool because I realized you don't even need a sales page. You don't even need a super fancy website. When I first work with my business coaching clients, they get so stuck in, well, I don't have a website yet, and I don't even know how to create. And I'm like, it's okay. Do you know five people that need what you have to offer? Go talk to them.
Call them.
Call them. See what they need. And then make an offer and help them. That's how you get testimonials. That's how you get experience. That's how you learn the commonalities and the people that you want to work with and who you like to work with and who you might not like to work with. We've got to just dive in and not let all these little details stand in our way and block ourselves from our highest potential.
Well, and that's how you get confidence. It's not going to more conferences, and it's not all of the practices that we engage in that don't move us forward, that just make us feel good in the moment. It's talking to people and driving that transformation. From a transformative perspective, I have a lot of people that we coach with respect to their businesses, and they're like, I don't know what I should charge per hour. And I was like, that's the problem, right? Like, let's talk and build out the transformation that you are going to deliver. And then let's create a pricing strategy that's in alignment with that transformation. We don't work in an hourly exchange anymore. We're working in a transformative process. And it's such a mind shift for these practitioners, and you can't do it at $90 an hour, because they're now spending less money for you to strategize on their health than they are spending on their coffee every day.
So we don't sell them, we sell transformation. So you want to build a container of support. Like, whenever we build out a coaching program, I always like to say, think of the three C's. It's content, coaching, and community. Ideally, you're going to have all three of those in your program. So if you're just giving them content in a one-off session, they're really probably not going to see the results that they want, because they need that coaching and that accountability. They need that community to hold them accountable and support them moving forward. And building out your signature program, your model, in a way that supports how transformation actually works is really, really important. And just selling a one-off session, we just don't do that. And if someone asks for that, I tell them why. We don't do that because that's not how transformation happens. You know, it can take time, and it takes coaching, and it takes support and guidance and correcting and shifting along the way. And it would be totally doing you a disservice to just give you a one-off session and then leave you on your own. So we don't even do that anymore. And I think it's really important that you brought that up.
I was going to say, you know where you get one-off answers?
Google.
Google. And going to events.
Yeah.
And engaging with people and talking through things. And even then, it's like mini moments of transformation. But I feel like some of our best conversations, people think that I am only ever in a pool, but our best conversations have happened in or beside a pool, where we're just feeding off of one another. And those are like mini moments of transformation. It never happens through simple transaction.
So true. I know we're kind of known, at least I know I'm for sure known as like being the one who's always in the pool at events. And people are like, how do you spend thousands of dollars to attend a single event and sit in the pool the whole time? And it can seem crazy at first, but you just, you know, hit the nail on the head there. That is where these real transformative conversations happen. And I've been to a lot of events and sat in a lot of sessions, and I'm sure there's a lot of great sessions. But at this point in my business, I'm realizing how important these connections are. It's connecting with other world changers like you that really help me and my business overcome my mindset stuff, spark my creativity, you know, help work through and brainstorm. And that's where I think a lot of the magic happens. And we can get so stuck in the tech side of things and, you know, the lead pages and building things out and the systems. And while those are really important, it's just as important to be having human conversations.
Well, speaking of human conversations and live events, I'm really delighted to share with people that you are going to be one of our keynote presenters at our Impact Lives event in November. And we're super excited to hear from you talking about systems and process and then really delving into mindset.
Yeah, these are my favorite things to talk about if you haven't figured that out already. And I'm just super honored to get to be a keynote speaker at your event, Megan. It's going to be amazing. I just love what you're up to. And all of the people in your programs, I just love the energy. You bring in this amazing group of people that just have this passion and this motivation and hard work ethic. And they're really just amazing, personable people too. And that's who I love to surround myself with. So I'm just really grateful to have this opportunity to support your people too.
Well, I'm excited, and I'm just going to throw out there strategically, recognizing the role that a pool has to play at a particular event and knowing that I actually want to keep everyone in the room. I've placed our event at the end of November in Canada, and there's no pool in the house. So we have lots of really fun ways for people to be able to connect, because it's so key. And if you're an entrepreneur out there and you're like, oh, I always want to go to these events, but I've never really had it in my budget, or I never really thought about it, or getting time away, it is a really cool way to rapidly accelerate transformation personally, professionally, all of the above.
Yeah, and just to step away from your day-to-day. I mean, like, our programs are all completely virtual now. And while I love what I do, I am, you know, on the phone or behind a computer a lot. And just stepping out and getting with people, like, in person and making those connections, it's just so different. And even if you're in a brick-and-mortar office, same thing. Stepping away from your work, just leaving it and, like, physically going somewhere else. And again, thinking about your business, working on your business. I always ask my coaching clients, like, what percentage of your time are you in your business versus on it? And it's usually way too high of a percentage. We're just not spending enough time actually being intentional about where our businesses are going and working on them. So I love this opportunity. And man, I hope everybody listening comes.
We're going to have a lot of, well, if everybody listening comes, we're going to run out of room. So, but
stay at home. No,
that's right. Yeah. So don't come at all. Hey. You, if you're a colleague, if you're a practitioner, if you are seeing patients, if you are looking to up level your impact in the health and wellness space, I wanted to let you know that we are hosting one heck of an amazing event taking place on November 21, 22, 23 in Toronto. Impact Lives is our signature flagship event that takes place on an annual basis, and it is a coming together of some of the most impactful people in the health and wellness industry. Over the 3 days, we are unpacking the mindset that has been holding you back from achieving the impact you have always dreamed of. We are spending a day looking at new tactics and techniques, some of the things that people are using in a cutting edge capacity to take their impact and their practice to the next level. And if you want to join us for our VIP bonus day, we are going deep in a workshop setting, 6 different workshops to up-level your mindset, your business, and your impact. Impact Lives is an incredible experience. And our promise to you this year is that when you walk through the door, you will not be capable of leaving as the same person you were when you arrived. If you want to learn more about how you can participate in Impact Lives, check us out online, www.impactlivesevent.com. I cannot wait to see you there. What I would love to do and in this last part of the interview is give people a chance to really learn a little bit about you. So we heard your business side. This is a section of the interview I call our KPIs, or key performance indicators. Just like we have them in our business, I believe we have them in how we live our lives as well. So I've got a few rapid fire questions coming your way. You ready?
All right. I'm not prepared for those. So I'm excited.
This is my favorite. I love it when people aren't prepared for these things. Question number one, who is inspiring you right now?
Okay, it might be a cliche answer, but Jesus, because every morning when I pray about my day and the impact that I'm going to have and the people that I'm going to come in contact with, I just always think about the spirit of Jesus and just how loving and non-judgmental he was with everyone that he came in contact with. And that's exactly how I want to show up in this world.
That's not cliche at all. And it's the first time someone has answered that.
Oh,
so I love it. Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading right now?
Oh, what am I reading right now? I'm always reading like 10 different books. But again, this is kind of a weird one too. It's called The Truth, and it's by Neil Strauss. And he was the guy that was known for writing the book called, I think it was called The Game, that I guess a lot of guys would get tips on how to pick up women. This is a really weird answer. But I'm reading The Truth because he has basically like really shifted, and he did a lot of like personal development work and like addiction recovery work. And he just shares some super insightful things that he learned in his journey. And I love seeing the journey of someone who's just totally changed as a person and gone through like personal development and transformation. It's actually kind of a hard book to read. There's some really graphic things in there that are not really in line with my life approaches, but I'm always open to hearing how people have shifted and what they've learned in their journey. So that's what I'm reading right now.
Well, I turned around as you were saying The Truth, because it's sitting on my shelf, actually. I saw him speak at the Bulletproof Conference probably 5 years ago. And I was also super intrigued by the transformation that he had driven in his own life. So that's super cool. Look at us. So aligned.
I love it. We are on the same page.
Seriously. What is the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
Oh, with respect to my health, I would say, getting good sleep. This is something that I used to sacrifice because I used to really believe in the mentality of like calories in and calories out. And I have to wake up at 4 a.m. and be at the gym at 5 in the morning and then restrict my eating and hit the gym later at night. And like, I just didn't value sleep. But in my own weight loss journey, I really saw how, you know, sleep balances out your hormones and it makes you feel better. And I shifted to choosing sleep over the gym. So I think it's just one of those things that, man, if I don't get enough sleep, I am not my best self. And I think, you know, most people are probably like that. But for years, I wasn't getting enough sleep and I was really depriving my body of the rest and restoration that it needed. So that is like one of my number one priorities this day, every day, because I know that I can be a better business owner and a better leader and a better coach and a better friend and all of the things if I get plenty of sleep.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Well, you can't see me right now, but I have a lot of blue in my hair and I have, I don't know, over a dozen piercings and a few tattoos. And there's like this little rebel side of me. I'm like sort of like conservative Christian with like a little bit of rebel. And I think that's why it's fun that my program is called Rule Breakers, because I've always been a little bit of a rule breaker while still like being in integrity with my values and whatnot. So I think that's kind of fun.
That's why I love you. What do you do for fun or play?
Well, I'm learning how to surf. I moved to California, which was always one of my dreams. And I've been here almost a year. And it's taken me almost a year to really start like learning how to surf. And it's just one of those things I always wanted to do. And last time I went surfing, or not last time, but one of the first times I went, I got stung by a stingray. And I was like, oh man, like, why am I even trying this surfing thing? So I'm just facing my fears. We were just talking before this interview about how I went to Burning Man, which is like this crazy sort of circus in the middle of the desert. And I went once and I said I'd never go again. But I'm really trying to just be open-minded and do things that challenge me, because personal growth is so important for growing your business as well. And I think that facing our fears is one of the most important things we can do to grow both our as a person, but then our businesses and, you know, also.
So many nuggets here. Last question for you, Cassie. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Gosh, I think it's both. I think, you know, I think entrepreneurs have this like special, I don't know, gene in them to want to do what we do, but we don't have to nurture it. I think it's like, you know, maybe the gun is loaded, but we have to pull the trigger. We have to make the decision that we're going to do this and stick with it every single day, even when the going gets tough. And I think a lot of people might be like born with that gene, but then, you know, they want something easier. They want a complacent, easier 9-to-5 job. And honestly, there's no judgment at all. There are days that I'm like, maybe I should just quit my job and go back to something where I can just leave it at 5 o'clock and get vacation time and all of that. But I think it just comes back to, we got to build what we want. So I'm always asking myself, okay, like if I'm working too much, I'm creating this. Like I created this so I wouldn't have to. I created this so I'd have more free time and more time away. So what can I do to change that? So I don't know. I think that it's a little bit of both. I think that, you know, I don't think anybody could be an entrepreneur. I don't believe that. But I do believe that, you know, we have to be intentional about making it happen and making that choice and really, I don't know, pulling that trigger when that gun is loaded.
Cassie, so much brilliance. You're up to so many great things. Where can we direct people to learn more about what you're up to?
Oh, thank you. Well, Cassie.net is where the party starts. And on Instagram, I'm pretty active on there. And it's Cassie.net, all spelled out like D-O-T-N-E-T. And I'd love to connect. Like, send me an Instagram message if anything resonated with you. And obviously would love to see you at Megan's event in November as well.
Cassie, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. This was so wonderful. I always love connecting with you and your audience.
If you enjoyed today's interview, like always, I would be so grateful if you would be able to subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. And if you are a practitioner and really looking to have impact in the world, I know the opportunity to hear from Cassie along with some of our other world-class speakers at our event, Impact Lives, is going to have a resounding influence on you and on your business. We've hooked you up in the show notes, but if you want to go there now, impactlivesevent.com. And we have a 3-day experience that focuses on mindset, tactics, and then intense workshops to be able to take your impact and your business to a whole new level. You know, I believe that when people have their health, they can change the world. And the way that I have been able to scale my impact is by supporting practitioners increase what they're able to do with their business while equally sustaining themselves as as individuals. That's what Impact Lives is all about. This is my life's work, and I'm so excited to bring it to my audience of practitioners who are hanging out with us over on the Entrepology Podcast. So thank you again for being with us. And until we hang out again next week, go build something epic.